today on Real Radio.
God is working in your life right now. Oh, no, he's not, because you don't know what I'm bound to. I've got First Interstate on the left. I've got Visa to the right. I've got this in front of me, and it's hopeless. Hey, listen, God works in hopeless situations.
Welcome to Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs. I'm David Jay, thanking you for joining us today as we listen, learn, and are challenged by God's Word, the Bible. On today's edition of Real Radio, Pastor Jack, in a message called When God Answers Prayer, continues a series called The Book of Acts. The Book of Acts records the powerful ministry of the first century apostles. Their journey begins in Jerusalem, but soon spreads to the Gentile world through Peter, John, and Philip, and through the miraculous conversion of Saul of Tarsus, who later becomes known as the Apostle Paul. In the message called True Christian Ministry from Acts chapter 11, verses 27 through 30, we learn that true Christian ministry is divided into three parts. There's the spiritual aspect to ministry, the meaningful acts of ministry, and the practical side of ministry. And now in Acts chapter 12, verses 1 through 19, we'll see how God releases Peter from prison through the fervent prayers of the church. Today on day 2 of this lesson, Pastor Jack tells us that when we keep our thoughts on the Lord, he will keep us in perfect peace. And it's a peace that's also beyond our understanding. You know, the Apostle Peter slept soundly while he was in prison because of God's peace and strength. And now, continuing in his lesson called When God Answers Prayer, here's pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs.
Verse 6, and when Herod was about to bring him out that night, Peter was sound asleep. I mean, the word in the Greek, sleeping, he is out. He's sawing logs. He's snoring. Now look, get this in your mind's eye. He's sitting, at best, I guess he's sitting because he's chained to these guards. It's cold. He's sleeping. First of all, I sleep so loud, I have to have earplugs when I'm outside my own house. Man, I got to have earplugs if I'm going to sleep. I hear everything. I can hear anything and everything. Can you imagine Peter sitting there and the chains are rattling? These poor guards next to him. And Peter was a huge guy, big fisherman. Can you imagine? He's just sawing logs. He's out like a light on the day before he's going to be killed. I don't know about you. I might be concerned. You've already got the rumor that James is dead. Finding out it's true, they arrest you. They take you to prison. You're someone who's being used in the church. Could they be on a roll here? Could my head be on a roll here? He's got to be thinking, but he's out like a light. We're not talking about some little sleep. He is absolutely zonked out. Listen to this. Jot it down. Philippians chapter 4, verses 6 and 7. You know it. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving. Let your request be made known unto God, and the peace of God which passes all understanding. You understand what that says? Which passes all understanding. I don't understand why I have so much peace. You're not supposed to be able to understand it. It's too much peace. Enjoy it. You ever been there? When somebody comes up and says, you know what? There's nothing we can do for your little girl. It's just a response. It's how her body responds. 50% chance to live. We don't know. All of a sudden, there's a peace that floods over you. And you just go, wow, this is totally out of my hands. There's absolutely nothing I can do. God, you are God. And that's all there is. And that's enough. Crisis brings you to that place. The peace that passes all understanding. Psalm 4, verse 8. Psalm 4, verse 8 says, I will both lie down in peace and sleep, for you alone, O Lord, make me to dwell in safety. Do you have peace in your heart? You can build the biggest house up in Chino Hills. You can have that one house I saw back there. They have a heliport for their helicopter, I guess. That's great if you got to have it, I guess. You can have all that kind of money. You can have all that stuff. Do you have peace? Is there a river flowing through your heart that is calm and peaceful? Or do you respond day in and day out to the events of the week or the hour like a spring cut loose? Every phone, every knock, you just bounce. You're constantly stressed out. That's a horrible way to live. The joy of the Lord is to have that peace that's running through. You can have that peace. You know what, though? I think Peter had the word of the Lord in his heart. Personally, this is my opinion. Can't prove it. Peter's sound asleep. I think it's because he knew that he was going to die at an old age. You want to know where I get that from? John's Gospel, chapter 21. Jesus said, you're going to be, actually, if you read John 21, verses 18 to 19, Jesus is telling Peter that he's going to die at a very old age. I think Peter believed that. I think Peter believed the word of the Lord. But you got to give him an A for still being able to sleep. At least I have to. He's out like a light. One of my favorite scriptures in all of the Bible, Isaiah 26, 3. And listen, if you are in a crisis right now, or if you plan on being in a crisis soon, tomorrow's Monday, you know. Isaiah 26, 3 says, you will keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on thee. That word means to have your heart and your mind anchored on Christ. Isaiah 26, 3. Peter would later write in his epistle to us in 1 Peter 5, 7, cast all your cares upon him because he cares for you. Isn't that great? Peter, what are you doing? I'm sleeping. Get out of my face. Well, you ought to be worrying. Why should you be praying? Why should you be sleeping when you can be worrying? That's exactly why I'm sleeping, and that's exactly why I'm at peace and praying. Casting all your cares upon him because he cares for you. Do you know what kind of a deal that is? Every week, the trash truck comes down the hill, and you throw your trash into it, and you drive away, or he drives away. That guy takes that burden, and boy, let me tell you, if it's there for an extra week, it's really a burden, but he takes it away. Jesus comes by, and he says, what are you doing? Oh, I'm so stressed out about this thing. I got a burden. Jesus says, why don't you give it to me? Can I do that? We saw a show a little while back. It was so cute. And this guy he was filled with vengeance. And what happened was this events that took place in his life, all of his vengeance was appeased and made calm. And he sat back and he said, gosh, what do I do with myself now? I've dedicated my life to vengeance and I don't know how to live anymore. And there's a lot of people like that. They're angry about this or they're worried about that. And God says, give me your problem. Cast all your care upon me. I'll care for you. But we're afraid to do that. And we're so funny. We're like a fly fisherman. First time I saw a fly fisherman, it freaked me out because he's got this little fly on the end and he throws it out and throws it back. Throws it out, throws it back. Throws it out, and throws it back. What kind of a weird fish thing is this? You got to get the bait in the water. But that guy knew exactly what he was doing. But we are like spiritual fly fishermen. We're goofing up all the time, man. We get out there, Lord, I'm going to cast my care upon you. And I'm going to take it right back again. And we reel it back in. I got to worry about this. Got to hang on to this. And then, yes, Lord, I'm supposed to cast this onto you. And we throw it out to him. And then we are so uncomfortable about peace that we reel in this stupid thing that we're worrying about. Cast all your cares upon him. You know, the church is praying. Peter's in prison. And we have the luxury of John chapter 15, verse 7. That tells us there that if God's word abides in our heart, we may ask what we will and it shall be done unto us. That's a promise from the Bible. Isn't that radical? The key is his word abiding in our hearts. This is the church praying. Watch what happens. Was the word abiding in their hearts? We'll see. It says in verse 7, now behold, an angel of the Lord stood by him, and the light shone in prison, and he struck Peter on the side and raised him up, saying, arise quickly. And the chains fell off of his hands. This is funny, because Peter's absolutely asleep. Can you imagine an angel showing up? And he's there, and there's a light glowing, and Peter's, he's just sawing logs. He's out, there's an angel. And I think the angel went, psst, Peter, get up. Because the word struck in the Greek, it's funny, it can go either way. It can be to push, to stimulate, or to push to a fatal point. You can, same word is used. You can push somebody in this word, and depending on the context, to the point that you kill them. Which is kind of funny because knowing Peter like you do, and like I do, it's somewhere between a gentle arousal and almost knocking him out to death. It's like, Peter, get up. Peter, get up. And Peter woke up and look at his, he doesn't stand to his feet and say, oh my gosh, an angel. What's going on here? He's aroused. The angel strikes him, verse 7, and look, and raises him up. The angel's got to lift him up, saying, arise quickly, will you? It doesn't say, will you? I'm just throwing that in. It's, get up. It's funny. Angels, when they appear in the Bible, they're always in a hurry. It's true. Have you ever noticed that? They're always in a hurry. They're never hanging around. They show up, they do their thing, and they get out. So he says, arise quickly. And the chains fell off of his hands. That had to make a noise, don't you think? Chains hitting the ground, but yet nobody wakes up. Peter's barely awake. Verse 8, then the angel said to him, gird yourself. This cracks me up. Watch. Gird yourself, tie on your sandals. And so he did. And he said to him, put on your garment, follow me. All these little commands. Stand up, put your shoes on, put your jacket on, comb your hair, straighten your tie. What's the matter with you? I mean, Peter's like, oh my gosh, what's going on? He doesn't have a clue. We're going to see it in a moment that he's thinking that he's having a dream. I wish we could have seen this. Don't you wish Spielberg would do this? Wouldn't it be great? Angel says, follow me. I think I would do that. Verse 9, so he went out and he followed him and did not, here it is, did not know that what was done by the angel was real. He doesn't have a clue. Whoa, what a dream. I sure need this to happen in my life. He doesn't have a clue. Just like you and I, God is working in your life right now. Oh, no, he's not, because you don't know what I'm bound to. I've got First Interstate on the left. I've got, Visa to the right. I've got this in front of me, and it's hopeless. Hey, listen, God works in hopeless situations. The scripture says that these things were written as an example for us. We need to trust in him. We need to follow him. But we think our situation is so impossible that God could never do it. And he's doing it right now, even in the midst of your doubt. Verse 10, when they were past the first and the second guard post, basically we're talking about going through Pentagon clearances here to get out of this place, or trying to get into Disneyland, take your pick, either way. We're talking major security here. We're talking major obstacles. They came to the iron gate that leads to the city, which opened to them of its own accord. I like that. So Peter walks up there, and there's this angel, presses this little button, I guess, and this garage door opener thing does that. It's automatic. The angel and him walk up, and the gate opens. Peter's now saying, what an awesome dream. This is a great dream. I could sure have this happen in my life. That would be great. And immediately, verse 10, the angel departed from him. Peter's all alone. And when Peter had come to himself, that is, he came to his own mind. See, he's been kind of wigged out this whole time. He's been in a daze. This can't be happening. But it says right here in verse 11, he came to himself. And I love this. He talks to himself too. It says that he said to himself, now I know for certain that the Lord has sent his angel and has delivered me from the hand of Herod and from all the expectation of the Jewish people. So when he had considered this, he came to the house of Mary, the mother of John, whose surname is Mark, where many were gathered together praying. Why did he go there? How did he know to go there? This is the upper room where Jesus had the Last Supper. This is Mary Mark's house, her son, John Mark. Remember John Mark? John Mark's the one who wrote the Gospel of Mark. This is the upper room. It was known to hang out for Christians. It appears in other portions of Scripture. It was a neat place of fellowship where people gathered together for celebrating the Passover and for prayer. So Peter gets out of prison and he heads for the prayer meeting. He heads to that godly home. And it says in verse 13, as Peter knocked, you ought to mark that. It's not three knocks and let's wait. He knocked three times that word in the Greek means. He knocked maybe four times. Now he's going, knocking and knocking. He kept knocking. Well, Jack, what are you getting on them for? What's the big deal? It's a prayer meeting. Can you see this? We're praying. We're in here. We're praying. We're in the upper room. Somebody's knocking. Don't answer that door. It's a prayer meeting. They'll go away. Let's just keep, stay focused on God. Don't let it, just forget it. Just stay focused on God. Let's pray. Stay focused on him. Don't worry about the doors. Don't worry. Just stay focused on God. And he's is not going away. With that going on, keep reading. You can hear the knocks in the background. Verse 13, as Peter knocked at the door of the gate, a girl named Rhoda, or Rose, or Rosie, came to answer. And when she recognized Peter's voice, because of her gladness, she didn't open the gate, but ran in and announced that Peter stood before the gate. But they said to her, verse 15, you're out of your mind. This is a prayer meeting. We're praying for Peter to be released. What do you mean he's standing at the door? You can just see he's knocking. Somebody goes, look, will you get the door? This guy is not going to go away. So she goes over there. They send the little maid, Rhoda. She goes over there, opens the door. Slam. You guys, it's Peter. It's Peter. It's Peter. Get up. Come on. Come on. It's Peter. Shh. You're crazy. We are praying that God would deliver Peter. How can he be at the gate? We are men of faith. We are men of action. Don't tell us that he's at the gate because we've got a mission and we're praying that God would do that. But he's here. Hey, listen, don't let anyone ever tell you that the reason why it didn't happen is because you didn't have enough faith. God is sovereign, even when it comes to prayer. You cannot tell him what to do because you've decided to pray and fast for 40 days. God is not moved. He's not under pressure because of your action. But you see, true prayer is when God stimulates your heart to talk to him about it and to seek his face because he's got an answer. And sometimes it's just to strengthen our own faith and our own discipline. Do we realize, will we ever learn that sometimes God puts a burden or a situation into your life and you go to him in prayer and you're crying out to him and God says, I'm not going to fix it. It's a crisis in your life. I'm with you. And the reason why it's in your life is because I'm taking you through this and I'm going to show you that I'm with you all along the way. Those are hard lessons to learn, aren't they? Those are tough. You see, I want God to do it now. I want God to fix it now. Well, these guys are praying. And poor Rhoda, they think she's a wacko. I wish we could have been there. Verse 15, you're beside yourself. Yet she kept insisting that it was so. So they said, hey, it's his angel then. What's with these guys? They're praying for Peter's release. Okay, look. If there's somebody there, it's his angel, okay? It's an angel. I don't know. If I were in this prayer meeting, I would have gotten up to look at the angel. Wow, look at that angel. So, by the way, this is also a little picture into their belief of the supernatural. But it just cracks me up. These guys are so committed to prayer that they're not even going to get up for an angel. In fact, they're not even going to get up when God answers the prayer. They're just going to keep going. You're beside yourself. Oh, it's an angel. Don't worry about it. Verse 16, now Peter continued knocking. And when they opened the door, they saw him and they were astonished. Now, I don't know about you, man. You come to a prayer meeting, there's obviously people here. Maybe it's all of them. They're thinking, I know this isn't going to work. Let's pray. Lord, release. I know he's got tetrads of guards around him, 16. Four of them can like fight off an army of 1,000. He's in prison. Nobody escapes from that place. They already killed James. Peter's the next big guy in the church. He's out of here. I know it. So Lord, deliver him. You've already defeated yourself in the whole thing, man. Sometimes it's, if we know too much about a situation, we can't pray about it. I don't want to know too much about the details because I get defeated. You come up, you go, you know what? This happened and that happened and this happened and I need this and I need that and I need this. And I'm just going, oh man, you know what? We ought to just go out and like jump off the pier then. It's too impossible. But God does it. Don't tell me the detail. Let's just pray. Because I don't want my faith messed up, man. If I know too much, it's like, oh no, I don't know if I can believe on this one. But listen, the thing is, God's going to do it. He's going to do what he wants to do. But it cracks me up, man. People come to a prayer meeting. I don't think this works. Stay home. Don't come to the prayer meeting. Have you noticed there's two types of people who believe in prayer? People who are in a great crisis, they come and they cry out to God, and people who are in prayer ministry. The prayer chain ministry here, they get the crisis and then they get the answer. They know what's going on. How do you handle this? True story. How do you handle this? So-and-so has cancer. Doesn't look good. Send it to the prayer chain. Goes to the prayer chain. Goes to the doctor. Comes back. Goes back to the doctor. Comes back. Doctors are all upset. Can't find the cancer anymore. Start to blame it on some little clerk that put the file in the wrong place. Trying to blame it on everybody. Yet the data's there. Cancer's gone. It's just like Rhoda standing at the door. He's here. He's done it. God's answered. Oh, how can that be? And you know it. Don't tell me you don't. Because when a Christian comes up to you and says, I was healed of leukemia, you go, oh, praise the Lord. I doubt it. Don't you? It's probably the flu. Listen, you want to know a trick? You want to get some? You want to get an effective, fervent prayer for you? Go to the children's ministry across the street and have them pray for you. Are you kidding? That you can go in there and tell them, you know what? I'm blind and I'm deaf and I can't talk, and I need God to heal me. And they'll say, okay, let's lay hands on them. Let's pray. They don't have a problem with that. Because, you know, when you're that age, everything's big. But when you're that age, God is humongous. And we need to learn from that.
Pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs, here on Real Radio, in a message called When God Answers Prayer. Thanks for listening. And when the church comes together to pray in Jesus' name, get ready for God to move. When God Answers Prayer, it's part of Pastor Jack's series called The Book of Acts, a series that brings to light the ministry of the first century church through the power of the Holy Spirit. And we'll continue on the next edition of Real Radio. Get ready for part 9 of Happening Now with Pastor Jack Hibbs and his special guest, Amir Safati. Now you can join them in person or through Facebook Live tomorrow, September 19th at 7 p.m. Pacific Time. During the live broadcast, Pastor Jack and Amir will examine God's prophetic word from the Bible in light of current world events. And in these unstable times, it's vital that you have a well-grounded understanding of God's word. There will also be a Q&A time, and you don't have to have a Facebook account to join in on the live broadcast. And what's more, you can now get the Volume 2 DVD set that contains Parts 5 through 8 to catch up on past Happening Now events. It's available for a limited time with a gift of any amount to this ministry. To get your Happening Now Volume 2 DVD set, simply go to our website, reallifewithjackhibbs.org. That's reallifewithjackhibbs.org. So be sure to tune in to Pastor Jack's Facebook page or go to reallifewithjackhibbs.org. to get the link for the Happening Now events live on Pastor Jack's Facebook page. Hey, did you know that Pastor Jack does a weekly devotion? Now, these devotions have been a real blessing to so many believers, so don't miss out on these special devotions from Pastor Jack Hibbs. Go to reallifewithjackhibbs.org and click on the Devotions tab and have those devotions sent right to your email. And if you need to get a hold of us, call us, 877-RR-RADIO. That's 877-777-2346. This program has been sponsored by Real Radio, made possible by the generous contributions of our listeners. Visit us at reallifewithjackhibbs.org, reallifewithjackhibbs.org. I'm David J. Until next time, Pastor Jack Hibbs and all of us here at Real Radio wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ and in His Word. This program has been sponsored by Real Radio.